Yeah, and that's what I've used in my business a lot of the time is even though I do have, you know, a track record and testimonials and those kind of things, I very rarely actually use them. I'm much more likely to use an example from my own business just because they tend to come to my mind first.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here, and I've got my friend on the line who's been on several podcasts with me before, and that's because we're in a great topic segment of local business marketing. This podcast episode is going to be useful if you sell services to businesses or if you're a small business owner yourself and struggling with it. I want to welcome Kyle Tully back.
G'day, James. How are you?
Good. And it is Kyle Tully, not Tully back, but I'm welcoming you back because I'm not sure how many times we've been on podcasts together, but every time we do it, we've had a great discussion and got lots of good feedback because this affects a lot of people who work in our communities. They're more or less setting up their own business and perhaps stepping away from working for someone else. And they're out there dealing with the majority of businesses who are struggling with this whole online marketing phenomenon. And certainly in our country, not even half the businesses even have a website yet. So we're still in the early days.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you and I have walked the same path that a lot of our sort of students and clients are now walking as well. So we've got a lot of experience that they can draw on. And like you said, you know, the market it's still massive. It's only getting bigger. I was actually looking before our call today for an updated stat to see if there was any news, you know, if anyone has got more than 50% of Australian businesses with websites. And I think that's still the stat. It hasn't grown since then. So we've got a lot of catching up to do in terms of getting Australian businesses online.
Yeah, and this is probably a worldwide thing. And certainly the stat that I got was given to me at a Google headquarters in Australia. So I'm sure that it'll be pretty accurate. Now, I get your emails, which are fantastic, and you have a background in copywriting, and it's obvious from your emails because every time you send one, they're quite compelling. One of them you sent recently was the top 10 excuses for failing, and I love this email because I recognize a lot of these questions from the forum that I run, Fast Web Formula, and also some of the students who I have in another environment. These things come up over and over again. I thought it'd be great if we could just address these. We'll mention what the excuse is, and then we can perhaps talk about some solutions. How do you feel about that?
Mate, that sounds awesome. That email actually came out of a coaching call I did where this guy brought up probably 4 of the 10 excuses as reasons why he, you know, wasn't successful. And I just got so frustrated that, you know, having these same things come up and up and up again. So I thought I'd write a quick email and try and address them in the broader sense to everyone just to get them to see that, you know, all these things are excuses, and there's dozens of people out there who have overcome every single one of them. And there's no point, you know, you sitting there saying, well, I can't do something because of X when someone else has overcome that.
Exactly. There's this philosophy that if someone's asking it, probably a lot of people are thinking it, but they don't even acknowledge it to themselves, or they're certainly not letting you know. So you've probably covered a whole bunch of people with the same questions. I know a lot of my videos are reactionary to input that I have from people's questions. So the first one you had on the list was, I don't have time because I work a full-time job. Now, as someone who had a full-time job when I started online and getting a couple of customers over the line was the thing that actually helped me quit my job, I know that this one is just an excuse. Tell me your take on this one.
You're actually the person that I use as an example of someone who's overcome this to, you know, people I speak with. You know, they'll say, well, I'm making 60 grand a year at my job, and, you know, it's really hard to replace that. And I'm like, okay, well, I know at least half a dozen people who replace that type of an income, you know, within a couple of weeks. You know, look at James. He was a very well-paid, you know, employee and was able to make the transition. So the bottom line is, what's going to change? You know, you say you want to start a business, but you say you can't because you're working a full-time job. So something has to change. Either your attitude around it has to change, your priorities in terms of how you schedule things. The bottom line is something has to change somewhere, or you're just kidding yourself. You may as well just stop learning about internet marketing, stop pretending like you've got a business, and just go and work your full-time job if that's the excuse you're using. I mean, there's no other way around it in my mind. You've either got to change your mindset or change your circumstances.
Well, that's it. And as you mentioned, I was on a high salary. It's close to $300,000 a year with great benefits, 2 Mercedes-Benz, fully fueled, insured and everything. And that made it that little bit harder. But I do remember one thing clearly. when I quit, I had this realization that I probably could have done it a year earlier. I just didn't connect the dots. And it was only going overseas to a live event and meeting people who built up my confidence. And it was this guy, actually, Tim Houston, great guy. He was sitting on an airplane and he looked across to me. He said, "Why do you still have a job?" And he was making circa $100,000 a month. And he said, "With your knowledge and your skills and your contacts, I don't get it. I don't understand why you would accept such a low return for your time." And I actually came back from that trip thinking that $300,000 was such a piddly amount and that I was underselling myself. So I had a change in perspective. And that's when I went back to people who I'd built a website for and said, "I'm going full time into this." Now, as at the time of recording this, coincidentally, this is almost 6 years ago. And the interesting fact is that I still have the same two customers right now paying me every single month. And that's been for almost 6 years. Now, imagine if I just stayed there in my job, weathered out the GFC, and maybe even got sacked because I was just so highly paid and they probably didn't need me. But by the time I systemized everything and made myself redundant within the business, I was on a dangerous situation. But now as a business owner, I get rewarded for making myself redundant in my business. I get that extra time for me and I can't sack myself.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think the key word I heard in there was confidence. And I've heard so many people say a similar thing, that they suddenly become successful in their business and they're like, "Man, you know, I should have done this a year ago. I should have done this 2 years ago." And it was just building up their sort of confidence or mindset to a certain point where they had the ability to just even mentally make the transition. There's so many sort of safety nets or perceived safety nets around having a job that it's a nice, you know, little security blanket. But you got to look at, you know, what are my criteria for life? What are my values? Is, you know, making 60 grand a year working for someone I don't really like in a job I don't really see a future in, where I want to be in another 3 years? Because that's the bottom line. If you don't make a change now, in 2 or 3 years, you're going to be feeling even worse than you are now, wanting to have made the change before, regretting the decision you made today not to change. So why not just change now while things are as easy as they're ever going
to
get?
Yes. And some of the other steps that led up to me making that decision were reading books from some of the business greats. And one of the key concepts that really sticks in my mind is that you must get paid by lots of different people, not from one person. If you think having a job with a salary where you get paid by one person is safe, you've got to be out of your mind. It's the least safe thing you can do. In my case, my business gets paid from thousands of different people, and I can afford to make a mistake with one or two, which hopefully we never do, but I'm not single source dependent. So that's the big reason that you have to get out of that full-time job if you dream of being an entrepreneur and owning your own business. Now, there are secondary things too. The fact that you get paid first and then you pay your tax rather than just getting paid after the tax is taken out is a great one. Plus, as an entrepreneur with your own business, when you employ others, you're able to help more people. And I think that's a good reason to have your own job. All right. Now, and the other thing regarding time, just stop watching television and work a few extra hours.
That's a big one.
I worked from 9:30 at night till 2 in the morning most days for years, 2 years before I quit my job. So if you really want it, you have to be prepared to pay the price, but it is possible. And I had 70 staff, so I had plenty on my plate when I turned up to work. And you're probably going to have to spend your lunch breaks and morning and afternoon tea on your own business somewhere on a laptop or on the phone to someone in the background who can help you. But these days with virtual assistants and support outsourcing and content outsourcing and traffic outsourcing and website outsourcing, you don't have to do anything other than do the marketing. All right, now that was just number one of 10, so we better motor on. Number two. There's too much competition already.
Oh, mate, I wrote an email about this probably a year ago because this is another one I hear all the time. And it annoys me because I used to feel the same thing 7 or 8 years ago when I was sort of breaking into the consulting world, like successfully for the second time, where I felt the same thing. I felt like there was too much competition. It was going to be too hard to break in. And what I quickly realized was there was a big difference between my perception from the outside looking in and the reality of the situation once you actually get in there. You know, for example, with the internet marketing world, everyone's still talking about offline marketing and local businesses and everything. And from the outside, it looks like there's everyone's your competition. You know, it's completely saturated. Once you get in there and you start actually talking to business owners, there's very, very few people doing this kind of stuff to the level that, you know, you want to be doing it at successfully. Most people are just on forums and they're talking about it and they're not doing a whole bunch of stuff in the real world. There's also tons of opportunities these days to either niche your business down to a particular market or a special time, a type of actual service, like being a pay-per-click specialist or something like that. So there's a lot of different ways you can slice and dice the market to differentiate yourself from, you know, anyone else who is in your market doing a similar type of thing.
Perfect. So you can specialize, you can become the expert at something, and you can do a little survey out there. I mean, most of the population still don't even know what Google Plus is, let alone yes. split testing or personalized URLs or multi-step forms or, you know, any of the stuff that we take for granted. If you've been in the internet space for a while, a normal business owner is going to look at you as if you have three heads. So it's not hard to be a superstar. There's very little competition. Most of the people from the big companies out there who are selling the solutions like door-to-door or canvassing businesses are still just sales reps who have had a PowerPoint presentation from one of their managers who spoke to someone else in their team, and they really have no idea when it comes down to what actually happens. And most people in our community have access to really good, high-quality wholesale supply of these services that they can take and add a good margin to and make decent money from without having to know anything technical. But I don't think there's much competition.
No, there really isn't. Not when you do it properly. Not when you, you know, go out there and you're thinking high value. You're talking to people on a human level. You know, you're not trying to just blast them with sales messages. You're not trying to pitch them. You actually kind of know a little bit about what you're talking about. That goes such a long way. And you speak to business owners, and they're sick of the salespeople. They're sick of the, you know, SEO spam emails being offered all the time. And when you actually just sit down and talk to them and say, well, look, you know, what do you want? How can we help you? They love talking about it and they're extremely open to it, but you've got to come in with that kind of a high value approach and not be perceived as a salesman from day one.
Okay, so on this related topic, your next item was, I'm not an expert or guru, so I have no value to offer.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on this one just before, saying that, you know, most business owners are completely clueless. And that's exactly the feedback I still get every single week from my students. They still can't believe that they'll be talking to a business owner about, you know, being able to install analytics or being able to install Clicktail or one of these sort of tracking things and telling them what we can do with their website, you know, how we can see what visitors are doing, figure out what they want, you know, survey them. They're absolutely blown away by these things. And I think some people get kind of intimidated by being in the internet marketing space because they see what the gurus are doing. They see what, you know, people like you and I are doing, which is a lot more sophisticated than what you need to do for a local small business. And people get scared. They're like, well, I can't do that. I'm not an expert at that. And they kind of talk themselves out of, you know, the value that they do have. And what you find is when you speak to a local business owner about some really basic stuff, like maybe using pay-per-click or SEO to get them some traffic, like putting an opt-in form on their website, like being able to survey their customers, they are literally blown away. And they're like, wow, how on earth can you do that? Like, they just don't have any clue about it.
Well, I've got a specific example here. I had a customer trying to buy a website from us, and he knew so little that he didn't really know what to ask for. But when I investigated, the problem he was having was that he'd sent 25,000 visitors to a site and had just a couple of thousand people fill out the form. And he wanted something that converted better. I took over the project for him, and we were able to get the conversions to 65%. So had he sent that traffic to the site that I actually set up for him, or my team did, not me. By I mean my team. he would have had a significantly better result, probably closer to 15,000 people. So 700% increase in result just from the very, very simple idea that you have a two-step form where you ask for a name and email at part one, and then the rest of the details. They were trying to get too many fields. So it's a classic case of a simple idea not well known, that can significantly, I'm talking millions of dollars in difference in revenue for that simple idea.
Yeah, and you touched on two things. The first is that they literally have no idea what's possible. They've got no idea of, you know, just the basics of internet marketing, absolutely no idea of any of the technical stuff, any of the testing and tracking things. So just by knowing that, you know enough to provide immense value. Like your example, you know, massive, massive increases in the number of leads and everything they can generate and profit, obviously. And the other thing is, I actually had a very similar example with a multi-step form where we took someone's, you know, form that had 50 different questions they were asking and they wondered why no one would fill it out. And we turned it into a three-step process and similar kind of results where, you know, on the very front end, the conversions increased like ridiculously amount. And even with a three-step process, they were getting, you know, 5 or 10 times more people filling out the thing just by breaking it up. And this is a super common thing in the internet marketing world, but to a local business owner, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. It's technically possible. They wouldn't have a clue how to do it, even if they did know. And so just these really small little things that, you know, come in with your fresh eyes, with a fresh approach and, you know, just asking simple questions like, well, why do you do it that way? What if we did it this way? You know, why and what if are really powerful questions to be asking these guys and just to open their eyes to what is possible.
Okay, so I'm on board so far and you've convinced me, Kyle, that I could possibly be a successful entrepreneur and quit my job and that there's something worthwhile there. But the only problem is, yeah, number four, my city is small and no one does any marketing.
My answer to this one is to go where the money is. That's the simplest answer is why limit yourself to your local market? If you really are in a really small town, you can't find people who will spend money. I still think that's a bit of an excuse, but if that's, you know, your perception of the reality, then go where the money is. That's a simple answer. Yeah. We've got the internet. We can connect to anyone in the world. Why would you limit yourself just to your local market?
Plus, you're only an airfare away from an event. I went to an event in Washington. I met with somebody there who had heard about me but never met me. I then came back home. I made a very short 3-minute slideshow pitch, and he has since ordered more than $100,000 worth of services from that one meeting. So, if your city's too small, go to a bigger city. Go to an event, Washington, Los Angeles, London, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. There's so much money out there being spent. Or even in Dubai, one of my greatest resellers is doing massive volume in a fairly new market in terms of the internet. But with the internet, we are able to travel virtually. And a lot of my business is now overseas. More than 50% of my business is in markets in a country different to where I live.
Yeah, I think just the name of, you know, people call it local business marketing. I think that throws a lot of people off where they think they have to go to their local market and, you know, walk into a store and pretend like they're a customer and then try and sell someone a website. Now, that's something that people were doing 5 or 10 years ago. You don't want to be doing that kind of brutal stuff now. We've got the internet. We know how to do direct response marketing. We need to get a lot more sophisticated than that.
Yeah, so it's more business services marketing, and you're helping a lot of businesses reach their local market. But there are also, if you can do that, you can also help business-to-business situations, and you can help multinational brands as well, but the right type. Probably not the big publicly listed ones so much, but definitely the privately owned multinational companies who really gung-ho and have big budgets and they want to get ahead. Now, what about if the economy's too slow? I've heard about GFC and Europe's hard hit and America's had a bit of a slump. Does that mean it's all over?
It's funny how often this one comes up, and I honestly think this is just an excuse. Like, just people have run out of any other possible excuse, so they just say, well, the economy's slow. Look, the bottom line is there's people spending money. People are still marketing. They're still going to want to grow their business. Sure, some people are going to be using the exact same excuse and saying, well, I can't afford to market now because the economy's slow. They're not the people you want as customers. You want the people who are aggressively marketing now, knowing that if they, you know, get more market share now, when things turn up, they're going to have the lion's share of it. So I think this one's just a flat-out excuse and it barely bothers with a response.
Yeah, they can't afford not to be marketing. I mean, marketing is cheaper when no one else has capacity. And
exactly.
Also, there's less competition, and all of the people who are doing services, if they feel the economy slow and they step out of the market, then you actually have less competition now. So in my own case, my business has been doing quite nicely, even though there's a global financial problem. But it's just a matter of which part of the market you choose. There's always going to be a part of the market that's working well. Just move towards that and find those jewels, that find the good customers that are there that are taking advantage of it. And I remember there's some quote that there's more money made in the downtimes than in the uptimes. But certainly the people who are focused on finding it will locate it.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing where, you know, the economy's down, things are sold cheaply, and you can buy things up and wait till the market turns up. And it's a similar situation now. You just got to look for the right prospects and be confident that, you know, there is still money flowing in the market. I mean, I've been doing my consulting tycoon product for the last, I think, 4 years or so now, right during the whole, you know, crisis. And every single one of my success stories was created in, you know, quote unquote, bad financial times when the economy was slow. So there's no excuse, and things are only getting better at the moment.
Okay, now what if you can't afford a mentor right now?
I mean, my first question to someone is can you afford not to? You know, I've seen so many people who they say they can't afford a mentor or coaching or anything like that. And then 2 or 3 years later, they're still struggling. They're still doing things the hard way. They're still, you know, struggling to get anything going. They've been buying more products. They've been, you know, buying little $47 products here and there. And you add up what they've spent and the time and heartache they've done, and they've spent, you know, five times more than what the coaching or mentoring was in the first place. So that's the first thing I'd say to people, is just seriously consider, you know, where you're at and what your path, you know, might look like if you don't invest in something now. And the other thing is, you know, just go out there and take action with what you do know and become a success story. You'd be surprised how many doors open up once you become a success story for someone and have gotten great results with their stuff. I've got quite a few people who I'm now friends with who came into my program and turned out to be big success stories. And we became friends because of that. And, you know, I took on a bit of a mentor role to them without them needing to invest anything, just because they went out there, took action, you know, and came back to me and said, "Hey, Kyle, you know, that tip you gave me last week, I went out and did it and I made 10 grand, you know, what's next," kind of thing. That opens so many doors you wouldn't believe, because so few people do it. People, you know, like you and me, I'm sure, get tired of giving out advice to people, giving people tips when they don't go and do it. And as soon as someone does, they stand out like nothing else.
Yeah, actually, I just did a podcast earlier today and I mentioned someone who has been implementing my strategies and has made that known to me on Facebook and commenting on my podcasts. And even though I don't think she's been in my course, she's taken the free stuff I give away and used it. And then there you go, I mentioned her in my products. So she's building up status and traction in her market. And there's plenty of people who I associate with who have done quite well. So I think that the money will flow fairly quickly once you get that confidence up and you go out and get a customer. You'll have some money to reinvest in your business. In my case, I've always reinvested in going to events, reading books, buying the odd course that will fill a gap in my knowledge. And the biggest investment I have in my business is in human capital. I actually hire other people who are smart and talented to help me grow the business. And that fuels the business to the next level, that allows us to help more people, that brings in more profit, and it's self-funding. So have that reinvestment mentality. That's what I think. And if you can find someone who knows the answers to all these questions and you have these things as excuses, then why not get the answers quickly rather than taking your long time to try and figure them out for free?
Exactly. Free's often the longest, slowest way. I mean, I've been very public about my first consulting business being a massive failure and all the lessons I've learned from that. And that's, you know, how I then created my product, which basically gives all my shortcuts and tips and everything like that. And to not take advantage of that and try and go the same route that I did and fail for yourself, that just, you know, blows my mind that people would even bother.
Yeah, and I've talked about how I used to sell software as an affiliate, and now I've replaced that. I actually stopped a profitable affiliation because I think people should just pay for a website to be built and have it ready the next day, because that removes a year's worth of learning curve and excuse. "Oh, I'm just building my website." That's not an excuse anymore. You should not even have to learn that stuff. So next one is that the excuse number 7 is my prospects don't want to spend any money.
Okay, so I've probably got two answers to this. The first one is probably 90% of times when people have said this to me, it's kind of true. They just need to go up and find better clients. You know, they're talking to the local butcher and they're wondering.
So it's filtering.
Yeah, exactly. They're talking to like a local butcher or candlestick maker and they're wondering why they can't sell a $5,000 or $10,000 website to them. It's because they don't see the value proposition. So that's the first thing, is just having better filters and going after people who can afford what you want. And then the second part of the answer is learning how to sell, you know, finding out what people want and then giving it to them, not focusing on the technical stuff, not trying to sell a website for $10,000, but selling them, you know, more, better, ideal clients for $10,000.
Perfect. Customer filtering and having a better messaging. Make the result more obvious to the customer, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Real simple stuff, but it's that kind of fundamental stuff that's really easy just to totally forget when you're setting up your business.
Well, I think it's built-in prospect language 101, isn't it? They teach it at deflection school. Oh, I don't have any money, or I can't afford this, or just not right now. Like
If they all go to the same customer school, they learn the same objections, the same, they've got like the handbook out.
Same in the motor industry. Oh, I need to check with my wife / accountant / my best friend / my cousin who's an expert who works at another dealer / you know. Okay, so the next one is, I haven't got a track record or testimonials. Now, I've experienced this one too, because we provide SEO services and websites. And sometimes when we get a rookie come to the help desk, they'll say, oh, can I use all your testimonials off your website? Can I cut and paste your results things? And I wonder, why do they need that when my most experienced, very best resellers have never even asked me for that? Somehow they got started without needing that.
Yeah, this is another one of those, you know, confidence building type of things where if someone doesn't have a track record, they feel like they need something just to build up their confidence. I surveyed some of my better students about maybe a year ago now, and what we found was 80% of the time, prospect will never ask you about a track record or testimonials or any of that stuff whatsoever, as long as you've, you know, taken them through a proper process. You know, you've asked questions that show that you know what you're talking about. You know, you've been focused on them and what their pains and problems are and looking for solutions. As long as you put someone through that type of a sales process, they literally don't ask, because it's, you know, you're not demonstrating that you don't know anything. You're not demonstrating that you are, a shyster or trying to rip them off or anything like that. And people just don't ask for this stuff. It's a non-issue in 80% of the cases.
Yep, perfect. Yeah, they're just not going to ask. So wait till you get there. Now, I always say to people, put your own website up there if you can, and at least you can rank your own website for something. But as soon as you have one customer, that can be the track record that you can use for the next one. You only need one success and then you're covered for the rest of time. So just make sure you put a lot of effort into that first site to make sure that you get a great result for your customer. So I've got this fantastic case study now that I can talk about with anyone who asks, where I'm getting 80 opt-ins an hour. And I think that credentializes me to be able to talk to someone else who has a similar scenario.
Yeah, and that's what I've used in my business a lot of the time, is even though I do have, you know, a track record and testimonials and those kind of things, I very rarely actually use them. I'm much more likely to use an example from my own business just because they tend to come to my mind first. And so, you know, even when you do have these things, you quite often won't actually use them when talking with people, because they're just not necessary and they don't necessarily fit into what you're trying to do with that person.
And sooner or later, your customers will be your testimonials on your behalf without you even having to ask. They'll just be referring people to you with a great endorsement. They'll come in hot.
But the funny thing is, I actually found when I did try and use, you know, testimonials or give examples, you know, of other case studies, was that most often it raised more objections than, you know, made the sale or anything like that, because people would either think, well, my business isn't like that, or that wouldn't work in my situation because of, or they had, you know, some advantage they don't have. And it raised more questions in their mind about, well, how would that apply to us, than it did, you know, help the sale move forward. So I just stopped using them because I didn't find they helped very much.
It is a top tip, and I don't use testimonials much at all in my marketing. It's almost non-existent. I just prefer to have reputation. And for that reason, I created the Own the Race course philosophy, which I publish for free on superfastbusiness.com, because I think that if you become your own example, then people get it. So the next one you had on your list of excuses, my partner doesn't support me like I want them to.
Yeah, and this comes up. It's actually been coming up a bit more lately for some reason. It seems to be something in the water. And look, it is nice when you've got a partner that supports you and, you know, makes you feel loved and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's your business and you're the one who's going to have to make it happen. So this is another one of those things that I think it's just a last minute excuse. It's like, well, I've kind of run out of anything else to say, so I'm just going to throw this one up there and see if that excuses me for not being successful. I really think, you know, it's got to be up to you. You've got to be the one who's got the passion, the determination to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, if that's the only time you can get up to do your work, and just do it. And the other thing I'd say is, if you are in a relationship that really is negative, that isn't, you know, passionate and isn't driving you to where you want to go, get out of it early. It's really important that you don't have those negative influences. There's a big difference between someone who doesn't quite support you the same way you want and is a negative, you know, lead balloon dragging you down. You want to identify them sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Now, I think it's essential to have support from your partner. I was able to build my business because we're working together on it. And when I say working together, I don't mean that you both have to sit at the desk and work on the work, but you can assign roles within your relationship that you know. My partner was really supportive, and I need this computer, I need to spend time on this, and you know, it was supported. Or I need to go overseas and attend this event. If you don't have that level of support, it will be hard to move ahead. However, I will say that some partners are right. If you are dicking around on YouTube watching cat surfing videos, or if you keep buying $2,000 courses and running up your credit card and never watching the course, never implementing it, and you're causing your family financial duress, then you are being irresponsible, and you have to stop that because it is a destructive behavior. So if your partner is actually correct, and if you are wasting time and energy or money and evading success because of all these bullshit excuses, then you need to pay attention to that if you value that relationship. Now, if your partner is on board and you are focused and you're doing a good job, you have a far more chance of being successful than trying to do this by yourself. It's good to have the sounding board or the second opinion, especially when you have a crazy customer who is unreasonable. It's good to have someone to talk to. And if you can't have a partner that does that, find a good group of close friends who you can bounce ideas with, because this is, to some extent, a solo game as an entrepreneur. Ultimately, the buck stops with you, and you have to have good self-talk. So work on your core. In fact, I recommend you go and listen to thinkactget.com. It's a podcast that covers a lot of mindset and the whole philosophy of whatever you think about is how you will act, which determines what you get. And you need good inputs. And as Kyle said, if someone's not helping you in that, it's not going to work out. Now, the final one was, I feel like I'm so far behind already. I mean, look at you, Kyle. You've been doing this for years. I don't know how long, but probably at least 7 or 8 that I know of. And I've been doing this for years and my business is great. But what about the person coming into this today? Is it possible?
Look, it really is possible. And the thing I'll say to these people is, you know, the best time to start was probably 5 or 10 years ago. And the second best time to start is right now. I actually had someone contact me a couple of months ago now, and he was like, man, I bought your course 2 years ago and I just never went through it. I was busy doing other stuff. I really wish I went through it then, because now I feel like I'm behind. So you got to like get up there, get stuff and do it, because you're only going to get further behind. You know, there's always new opportunities. There's always ways to come into the market. And I think a lot of this perception is more, you know, in your head than it is in reality. But, you know, things are only going to get further away from you if you don't start taking action now. So I think you've just got to start with where you're at. I mean, you can't go back in time. You can't change where you're at now. So start from now, start from zero, and start going forward in the direction you do want to go. And that's the most positive thing you can possibly do.
I used to sell Mercedes-Benz to a gentleman who was in the real estate market, and I caught up with him for a breakfast the other day. And he told me he's now dealing with local businesses selling websites. And I said, isn't that interesting?
Oh, wow.
How long have you been doing that? And he said, I started in December. Now, we're recording this in May, so that's 6 months. Today, he sent me emails. He's got a customer signed up. He's coming to my live event, which is in about 20 days from time of recording. And I can tell you, I know this guy. He built a successful chain of real estate agencies. He was a high-end Mercedes customer, and I can guarantee you that within a year from now, he will be making a good mid six-figure sum from this business, even though he started 6 months ago, because he's coming to it with a massive mindset of it's totally possible. He feels like he's at the very early foothills of where it's going. He doesn't even know about the 6 years back history that we have. It's like he's just discovered this thing and no one else has. So how is that possible for him to have that experience and then other people to feel like, oh, it's just too late? And I can tell you what, this guy isn't hanging around the Warrior Forum and buying WSOs. He's at the serious end of the stick and he's going to make big, big results with it. So I really wish that for everybody. And I think the fastest way they can do that is to get good guidance on it. I'd love you to tell us about this training course you've released, Kyle.
Yeah, sure. So a couple of months ago, I ran another one of my boot camp events. And at my first couple of boot camp events, I really focused on delivering, you know, really super high quality content, going through basically everything I went through to get from, you know, nothing to a very, very successful business. And then I was sort of analyzing where people got after that. And I realized that people had only executed on maybe 10 or 20% of what I taught. And I started digging in through my different coaching calls, all the notes I take from them, trying to figure out why, you know, why are some people super successful and other people only implement a fraction of what's taught. And this most latest event I did, I basically went through all the breakthrough ideas. I went through all the mindset stuff that had been holding people back, all the common threads, a couple of which we've talked about today. And I went through all the different, you know, breakthrough marketing ideas and some of the more high touch marketing strategies that my more successful students were using. And I just taught that. So I taught, it was like I 80-20 the most important stuff, dropped out all the stuff that people either couldn't execute on or were just taking too much time, and focused on the really, really high impact stuff. And I put an event, it was just for my VIP coaching clients. No one else was invited to that one. And we recorded it and everything. And I've been selling it for the last couple of months and just been getting some amazing feedback from people. And I'm really happy with how this one turned out.
Yeah, I'm sure it's excellent. As we've always had good feedback from your material. Gosh, I've known you for most of my time online. In fact, one of our first interactions was when you put out a mind map on the same sort of topics that I was doing, and we exchanged emails way back then. But the industry's been kind to us, and I'm glad that you've been able to compile and strain and sift and sort and to get the absolute best concentrate of it. So that's why I wanted to have a chat to you. I literally got your email, replied back and said, you know what, we should talk about this because I think we could help some people overcome it. So listener, even though you've just been listening to this podcast, hopefully you've got some ideas now that might help you address some of the top 10 excuses that you might have for not starting your own successful entrepreneurial business. If you want to take it to the next step, then I wholeheartedly endorse Kyle's products because he's a stand-up guy. He gets great feedback. He's also a member of the fastwebformula.com community and always puts fantastic, valuable contributions there for members. So I want to acknowledge that and say thank you for that, Kyle. And I hope that we'll be able to see you at Fastweb Formula 4.
Yeah, I'm going to try and make an appearance. I want to say thanks to you as well. You know, I enjoy giving back to your community, especially, you know, to a community that's been kind to me. There's a lot of really smart people and they're doing a lot of really amazing things, and it's a great community to be a part of. And if you feel like you don't have that support out there, I highly suggest people get involved in this because it's a good group of high-level thinking people. You know, it's not this low-level garbage stuff. It's really good, high-quality, real business owners in there, not just sort of the internet marketing crowd. And it's a really positive place to be if you're serious about growing a, you know, a good internet business.
It's very kind. Thank you, Kyle, and I'll be catching up with you soon. I'd love to get some listener comments here. If you ask a question, I'm sure Kyle or myself would be happy to answer it, and we'll catch you on a future episode.
Thanks, mate.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.